The scariest thing that ever happened to me in the middle of the night is also something that I thought was going to end in me losing my life. I've read a few of those scary middle of the night type stories and comments that, as much as they've been creepy, have ended with people just rolling over and going back to sleep. A nightmare. A wild animal banging on their window. That sort of thing. No offense intended, I'm sure those things scare the life out of them, but it's obvious that they weren't in fear for their lives. So, anyway, without further ado, this is the story of one of the worst nights of my life. So, on the night in question, I woke up at about 3 in the morning feeling really, really bad. It took me a moment to work out just what was wrong with me, but I quickly realized that I had this intense burning sensation in my abdomen, like just to the right of my belly button. I was sweating so much my sheets were soaked, and as I rolled out of bed to turn the lights on, my heart rate went through the freaking roof. The muscle cramps were so bad that I was almost bent doubled over as I headed off into the bathroom to get some Tylenol. I mean, they were so bad that at first I thought my appendix might have burst, which, as some of you might well know, can be pretty serious. I stagger into the little kitchen of the apartment I was living in at the time to get a glass of water, since I've never been able to dry swallow pills. Then I just sat there at the kitchen table for what seemed like a long time, until it got to the point where I was seriously considering just calling 911 and getting myself into an ambulance. I knew it would be a couple of grand just to get one over to my apartment, but there was no way I'd be able to drive out to the hospital with the pain as bad as it was. I'd crash my car and get myself killed long before whatever mysterious ailment I had managed to finish me off. Screw it, I eventually thought, and stumbled back in my bedroom to grab my phone to dial 911. As I'm online with the dispatcher describing exactly how bad the searing pain in my abdomen was, I found I just couldn't stand up anymore. So I sat back down on my bed as I'm grimacing in pain. My sheets were bundled up under my butt, and I know it sounds kind of dumb, but any kind of discomfort was just made utterly unbearable by the pain I was in. So I sit up and pull them out from under me, tossing them up near my pillows so I could just level myself out on the mattress. That's when I saw it. Lying on my mattress, all squished up and gooey from being crushed, was the biggest Black Widow spider I'd ever seen. My heart was already racing and I was sweating bullets, but seeing that thing sent me into an absolute panic. I pulled my shirt up and saw a bunch of that same spider's goo drying on my stomach, along with 2 telltale little holes where the spider had bitten me. I genuinely thought I was going to die if the ambulance didn't get there in time. I knew next to nothing about venomous spiders at the time, and I blurted out the revelation to the 911 operator, stammering about how something had bitten me and for the ambulance crew to please, please hurry. They did what they could for me, trying to keep me calm, but I was full on hyperventilating by that point, convinced that my life was in grave danger. Now, long story short, as incredibly painful and distressing as it was, one of the paramedics reassured me that fatalities from Black Widow's spider bites are extremely rare, and even though they'd been treating me with anti-venom, along with some serious doses of painkillers and anti-inflammatories, I was almost certainly going to be okay. The relief was palpable. I just remember crying my eyes out in the ambulance and all the exhaustion and pain and relief just pouring out of me as I thanked the paramedics before they wheeled me into the emergency room. It was a few hours for me to get the proper treatment and evaluation, but I was discharged soon after so I could catch a taxi back to my apartment. So, that's my story. And if anyone can learn anything from this, about how not to fly into a fit of panic when they're bitten by a Black Widow spider, then I suppose I might have earned myself a little good karma. Like, obviously getting yourself the proper treatment as soon as possible, but don't be fooled by those intimidating red and black appearances and that horror movie name. Black widows are a lot of bark, but a distinctly non-fatal bite. I grew up in a place called Hemel Hempstead here in the UK. It's a fairly small but old town just over 20 miles outside of London. Nothing much happens there. It's honestly a pretty boring place. But it currently wasn't boring in December of 2005. In fact, something happened down there that I don't think anyone who was around for it will ever forget. So picture the scene. It's almost Christmas for 17-year-old me. Decorations are going up all over town. Christmas songs are starting to be getting played on the radio, and with every day that passes, the town center is getting busier and busier with everyone doing all their Christmas shopping. Saturday evening of the 10th of December was one pretty much like any other. I played a lot of football in the park with my mates in the afternoon, then got home just after dark to tuck into the Indian takeaway that my dad brought home pretty much every Saturday, a fond little tradition we had going at the time. Mum and Dad stayed up quite late, just watching telly and working their way through a bottle of wine while I stayed up in my room playing PC games until about 2 a.m. the next morning. I was absolutely exhausted by the time it came to climbing to bed, and I drifted off fairly quickly, having planned on sleeping until late Sunday morning. But just a few hours later, I found myself jolted awake by something horrifically loud. I rolled over in a fright. Because it was still dark at the time of the morning, it took me a minute to work out that there was broken glass all over my bed and all over my carpet. The windows in my bedroom being completely and utterly smashed in, and there was this deep rumbling sound grumbling all over the neighborhood outside. I had no idea what was going on, but I remember my first thought being that our house was being like violently burgled or something, so I threw my trainers on to not cut my feet on any of the broken glass before getting up to run into my mom and dad's room. And that's when I caught a glimpse of the open windows. In the distance, this huge, bright orange fireball was rising up into the sky. I mean, it was absolutely massive and looked almost identical to the kind you see after a nuclear explosion. I was absolutely horrified, like I legitimately thought someone had dropped a bomb on UK. And a thousand terrified thoughts rushed through my head all at once, picturing the nuclear apocalypse that would inevitably follow. The entire world was about to be thrown into a horrific atomic dark age, and I believed that I was witnessing the first moments of it. Right then, my dad came running into my room to check if I was okay, and when he saw that fireball and uttered a shell-shocked, "Oh my God," he had a fear in his eyes that I'd never seen before or since. We both watched for a moment as fires engulfed a huge spot on the horizon and big patches of the starry night sky were being totally blocked out by smoke. Then we saw and heard more explosions, flashes of orange on the horizon, and these weren't nearly as big as the first one. So at the time, I was obsessed with this game called Fallout 2. It was a bit of a cult hit at the time. Not all that many people have heard of it, unlike now when all the other games have meant that pretty much every gamer on every platform is familiar with the Fallout universe and all its entails. I absolutely love Fallout 2. I still do, because it completely captured my imagination and filled me with a morbid fascination with all things atomic warfare related. It sounds a bit daft in retrospect, and maybe it was just how tired and frightened I was, but I really did think it was the end. But Dad was quick to reassure me, in a pretty grim way to be honest. "It can't be a nuclear bomb," he said, still sounding pretty shaken. "I mean, if it was, we'd all be dead, son, quick as a flash. Besides, there is an oil storage place out those ways, isn't there? It's gotta be that." And he was dead right. Because the morning of the 11th of December 2005 was the day the Hertfordshire oil storage terminal blew up, and what became known as the Buncefield explosion. From what I read later, the first explosion, the one that blew our windows out, happened just after 6 a.m., and firefighters were on the scene less than 10 minutes later. It was all because of a fuel leak, apparently, quite a slow one that caused a vapor cloud that was eventually ignited by something, causing a gigantic boom that was apparently the biggest explosion in Europe since the end of World War II. I know the bang had smashed out windows for miles and all that, which actually still boggles my mind to this day, but you really didn't get a sense of the destruction until the sun had risen a little bit, and you saw the cloud of smoke rising from the oil terminal. It was gargantuan, and I know I can't get it across in words, like if you get a chance, Google it and you'll see what I mean. It blocked out half the bloody sky, like I've only seen things that big in freaking Godzilla movies and stuff. It was so massive it was like your brain just couldn't even compute the size of it. I really haven't seen anything as big before or since. About 2 hours after the explosion, we got a knock on the front door from the police, telling us and our neighbors that we had to evacuate our houses for safety reasons. Not only was there broken glass everywhere, but apparently local authorities were extremely concerned that the wind might change and that the huge smoke cloud would engulf the area, which, as you can imagine, would have been really bad news for us. We ended up staying in a hotel for a few days, and as a weird kind of silver lining, we got a few days off of school since a lot of similar damage was done to the buildings there. And they had to get structural engineers in to give the place a look over before they announced it was safe. I'm not traumatized by what happened that morning, but all in all, the Buncefield explosion was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life, and one that I will never, ever forget as long as I live. We're going back a few years here to when I first moved out of my mom and dad's house and into my first ever apartment. It wasn't the most luxurious place to live, not by a long shot. A lot of stuff needed fixing up, and the plumbing was terrible, and the bed springs creaked with every little movement I'd make at night. But it was cheap, really cheap, and for someone like me with a low-paying service job, it gave me a lot of extra disposable income that I could spend and save. So about a month or so into living in that little apartment, the ceiling fan in my bedroom started making these weird clicking noises. I could put up with some sketchy plumbing as long as the shower and the toilet flush still worked, but this was the middle of the summer in Miami, and not beachside either. So if that thing decided to stop working, trying to get to sleep would be pretty unbearable. I called the landlord, let him know the problem. He said that he'd send a repair guy out as soon as he could. But then the guy turned up and checked the ceiling fan out. He basically said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just old. And young, dumb me just trusted that he was right. So one night, it's extra hot and humid, so I turned the ceiling fan up to the settings just before full blast before climbing into bed. I can hear it making those clicking sounds like extra loud as I'm drifting off, but I put on a podcast on my phone to kind of drown it out and drift off. Besides, rhythmic sounds like that aren't the worst thing, and a lot of people, like myself, find that they can actually get to sleep like that. I mean, some people even use an actual metronome to kind of hypnotize themselves into getting to sleep. But it might have been a few hours later when I woke up to a whining, whirring sound coming from above me. I couldn't quite work out where it was coming from at first, and in my tired state I rolled over and had to flick on the bedside lamp before I could figure out what exactly was making that noise. It was the ceiling fan. And right when I look up, I see how it's spinning all loose on its moorings, how it's looking increasingly out of control. Then all of a sudden, it cracks out of the actual ceiling and comes hurtling down towards me, right towards my face, while spinning ridiculously fast. I thought that was it right there, how that ceiling fan was about to take my head clean off, or at least do so much damage to me that I'd bleed to death right there in my bed. It's so weird when I look back at it, like they say the time slows down in situations like that, and in a sense they're right. It obviously didn't happen in slow motion, but I remember such bizarre details when I look back at it, how I noticed a little puff of plaster as soon as the fan came loose, how I noticed how dusty the old thing was as it got closer and bigger, plunging towards my face. Instinctually, I lay back down and tried to cover my face, letting out a screech of fear as I did so, then just kind of waiting for the pain to hit. But right as it was about to smash into my face, right as it was about to rip me up beyond all recognition, whatever electrical wire that it was hooked up to suddenly grew taut and held it right there in the air above me, stopping it from crashing into me. All that hit me was a little of the ceiling plaster and some dust, and I remember that weird anticlimactic feeling to this day, like it's burned into my memory. But it wasn't quite over there. It was still spinning really, really fast, and because it wasn't locked into the ceiling anymore, it was like swaying back and forth in the air above me, maybe only like a few inches above my body, and I wasn't sure how long it was going to hold. I had to really, really carefully slide off of my bed, still terrified that the spinning blades were going to cut me up. It was painstaking. Move too quick and I might clip my head or a knee on the fan. Move too slow and I might just still be under it when the thing fell down on top of me. I made it out from under that thing and rushed towards the wall-mounted control unit before turning it off completely. I had knocks on my door from neighbors soon after who thought that there had been a home invasion or something. Every single one of them gasped when they saw just how close I'd been to being sliced and diced by the freaking ceiling fan. I slept on my couch that night, or rather, tried to sleep. I was still pumped with adrenaline from having the whole thing happen. The next morning, if you can believe it, the landlord actually blamed me for what had happened, flicking back and forth between telling me that I had it spinning too fast, to not properly communicating the problem to the lazy repair guy who'd come out to check on it. It was absolutely outrageous, and only when I'd threatened civil litigation did he actually relent and agree to a rent reduction for the next few months to apologize. He ended up having a whole new ceiling fan installed, but you can bet your bottom I rearranged my bedroom so that my bed wasn't underneath that fan anymore. Sure, it was a little less comfortable getting to sleep during the summer, but after what happened that night, I just wasn't about to risk it. Let's just say I had a wear complex about ceiling fans ever since, and I never, ever set them to full blast, no matter how hot it is.